beginning a meeting over at Rhone Ridge. We need to keep that meeting in our prayers and perhaps even find time in our schedule to encourage not only Brett, but the brethren who are there. It's good to be here this morning. Appreciate the song service, the scripture reading already that has been underway. I'm going to be in the first study this morning taking a lesson from 1 Kings chapter 22. So if you have an Old Testament with you, and we're going to be making some very New Testament and very modern applications from this, but if you have an Old Testament with you, open it to 1 Kings chapter 22. This is an interesting setting here when you think about the events that are transpiring here in 1 Kings 22, because what we're reading about here in the early verses of this is a diplomatic meeting that is taking place between Ahab, the king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah at this time. There had been peace between Judah and Israel for some time. Now, there were skirmishes that would flare up. And also, the scriptures teach us that there was peace between Syria and Israel. Syria was a neighbor of Israel, and there were often skirmishes and wars between Israel, the northern kingdom, and the kingdom of Syria. Well, Ahab invited King Jehoshaphat to come down, or to come up, and to have a diplomatic meeting with him. And they were really there. Ahab really had some interest in going to war against Israel, against Syria, and Israel recapturing a little hamlet called Ramoth that was in Gilead. And so what Ahab is wanting to do is to get Jehoshaphat on board. And so they're really discussing some war plans that were to take place. And so Jehoshaphat reminds Ahab that, you know, we're brethren. Your people and my people are one. And, you know, we can join with you in that, but let's first consult God. Let's see what God has to say about it. And so Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel in verse 5 of 1 Kings chapter 22, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. Let's see if God is going to bless this endeavor. And so what Ahab then does is gather, verse 6, all the prophets together, about 400 men. And then he asked these prophets, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain? So they said, go up, for the Lord will deliver it into your hand. And so then Jehoshaphat wonders a little bit about this. You know, 400 guys here. They come out here and they all say the same thing. He said, wait a minute, don't you have another prophet that we can talk to about this? Is there not another prophet in your kingdom that we could inquire? And Ahab said, well, yeah. There is one other prophet that we can talk to. As a matter of fact, he said in verse 9 and 10, he said, yeah, I've got another one. His name is Micaiah, and I don't like him because he always prophesies against me. And by the way, I have to call him because he's in jail on bread and water. And so then they call Micaiah up, the son of Imlai, and he then tells King Ahab, you know what, it may not be as good as you think it is going to be. But I want you to notice something. Before he says that, I want you to notice what the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah said to him in verse 13. Now notice very carefully. He said, the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now, listen. The words of the prophet with one accord encouraged the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement to the king. You know, this tells us several things. It tells us in the first place that this king wasn't interested in the truth. He was only interested in having someone lie to him, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. And as a matter of fact, the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah there told him, basically, you go in and tell the king what he wants to hear. You go in and you tell the king exactly what these 400 prophets told him. You go in and lie to the king. Now, we're going to see in this study this morning that King Ahab actually loved believing a lie. So let me ask you as we begin this study, would you ever want someone to lie to you? Now think about that. And I'm not asking an academic question, because this is something that we face every day of our life in relationships. I think sometimes in relationships or in developing relationships, we actually want to hear some things that will soothe us and salve us and make us feel better about the relationship, even though what we hear may not be true. And I think about it in the political climate in which we live. You know, as your main said very early on, there is division in this country, politically speaking, and we are in a very volatile period. And so we've got political candidates on both sides who are telling us things that we want to hear. And we want to believe those things. I'll reach across the aisle. I'll do this and I'll do that. And we hear things that we want to hear, and we believe those things even though they may not be steeped in reality. Ahab is like that. Ahab loved and believed a lie. I want you to notice something here. He was told by these 400 prophets that if you go to battle against Syria and try to take Ramoth in Gilead, you'll be successful. Now, here's what Micaiah says to him in verse 17. He said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. You know what he's telling Ahab? He's telling Ahab, Ahab, all of these guys lied to you. The truth of the matter is, God is telling you that if you go to do battle, you're going to be killed. And all of your army then is going to go home. Every man will go to his house because they have no master, they have no shepherd, they have no king. That was the message that Ahab was told. He didn't want to hear that message. He wanted to believe the 400 lying prophets. Now look at verse 34. While they were in battle. Now, we'll come back to this. Now, a certain man drew a bow at random. You know, we can read at random here, but we might be able in our minds to affix the providence of God. This was not an accident. He drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded. Drop down to verse 37. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. Then someone washed the chariot at a pool in Samaria, and the dogs licked up the blood while the harlots bathed, according to the word of the Lord which he had spoken. Then you read on a little bit farther and you'll see that just exactly like Micaiah said, every man then went to his own home. There was no shepherd. There was no master. There was no king in Israel. He had died. But why? With the consequences being so drastic as that, why would one desire to believe a lie? Why would one love and believe a lie? I believe that the reason that people love and believe a lie then as today are the same. And we're going to examine that from our text this morning. Why would Ahab love and believe a lie? Why would we want to be lied to? Well, in the first place, a lie is told to support a decision that has already been made. Remember what we said just a moment ago. Ahab had already decided what he wanted to do. Look at verses 2 and 3. Then it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to visit the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, do you know that Ramoth in Gilead is ours? Now, what he's saying, we can do this. We're going to do this. It is ours. But we hesitate to take it out of the hand of Assyria. Verse 4, so he said to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to fight at Ramoth-Gilead? Now, just think about that. He had already made up his mind. He knew what he was going to do. And he just wanted Jehoshaphat to go along with it. And he wanted all of these prophets to just simply not tell him the truth, but just rubber stamp what he wanted to do. I've already made up my mind. I'm going to battle. And you know what? I want you to go with me, but I have already made up my mind. I would like for you to go with me and just rubber stamp what I have already decided to do. He did not seek the truth. He sought support for his decision. And this is the way it is. We'll make up our mind about something, regardless of the facts. We'll make up our mind about something, irrespective of the truth. And then we'll seek out people who's going to tell us that what we've done, the decision that we've made, is the right decision to make. Sort of like the rich farmer in Luke chapter 12. And he said in verse 18, this will I do. He's already made up his mind that he's not going to share all the things that he has. He's going to build bigger barns. This is what I'm going to do. And there's so many people like this. And I'm talking about in and out of the church. Whether we're talking about people in denominationalism, people in the world, or people in the church, we are very prone to make up our mind about something. And then rather than seek out the truth, we'll seek out those who are going to tell us that what we've made up our mind to do is the right thing to do. This is true in religion across the board. We don't want to be confused with the facts. I believe this. This is something I feel deeply in my heart. This is something that I strongly believe. And so what we will do then is not seek out what God says, not seek out if what we believe is consistent with the Word of God, but we'll be like Ahab. We'll seek out all of these so-called prophets and all of these so-called scholars and all of these so-called preachers and elders, and we'll seek out somebody that's going to confirm what I already have decided. I'll make up my mind, and then I will seek validation of what I want to do and what I want to believe and in what I want to participate. You remember the warning that Paul gave? You remember the warning that Paul gave to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 5? He said, there's coming a time when men will not endure sound doctrine. No, they won't have a desire to listen to what the truth is. But he said they will heap to them teachers because they have itching ears. And they'll tell them things that they want to hear. And I got to tell you, this is something that occurs on a regular basis. People will make up their mind. They will decide what they want. And they'll decide what they want to believe, and then you know what they'll do? Is they'll seek out people to tell, yeah, you're right. If that's what you believe, that's the right thing to believe. I'm reminded of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 5, and verse 30 says, an astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power. Now, that is tragic when you think about it. But what is even more tragic than that is what he says next. And my people love to have it so. Remember, Isaiah said in Isaiah 30 and verse 10, or what they said to Isaiah in Isaiah 30 and verse 10, do not prophesy to us right things, but speak to us smooth things, deceits. You know, if we are not truth seekers, we'll not be saved. We need to be as scientists when it comes to examining the Word of God, and we need to seek out what the truth is, not take the Bible and seek to validate what we already believe, and not seek out preachers and teachers and others who are going to tell us what it is that we already believe. Jesus said it was the truth. And only the truth, John 8 and verse 32, that will set us free. And I'm going to tell you, no matter what you believe, no matter how astonishing it may be, no matter how far-fetched and wild it may be, if you want to, you can find somebody in the name of religion that will validate what it is that you believe. You believe that you can marry someone of the same gender, the same sex? Then you can, I'll tell you what, you can look around you and you'll find preachers who'll say, yes, that is the loving attitude of God. Go for it. And so all we're doing is seeking to validate what it is that one already believes. You believe, you know, you develop the belief that you can divorce your husband or your wife for any reason and marry any multiple number of times, and God will sanction each of those marriages. If that's what you believe, irrespective of what the Bible teaches, and that's certainly not what the Bible teaches, but if that's what you believe, you can look out and you can find even so-called gospel preachers that will pat you on the back and say, that's exactly what you can do. You go for it. And that's one of the reasons that people hop from church to church. They're looking for somebody to validate what it is that they already have decided is true. It may be the drinking of beverage alcohol. Well, you know, you'd have a little glass of wine or a martini or a mixed drink at dinner, and that's all. And if that's what you believe, you can find somebody to tell you that's okay. You can find some preacher, some eldership, some church, somewhere who will place a stamp of approval upon that belief. And that's why people love and believe lies, because they validate what it is that we've already decided to be the truth. And it's, whether it's in worship, the use of instruments of music, whether it's in modest dress, whether it's, you know, whatever, you just fill the blank in. You can get a bizarre belief, and you can find somebody to tell you that it's okay. But what does God say about it? You see, this is what Micaiah was trying to get Ahab to understand. Let me tell you what God says. I don't want to hear that. You just encourage me in what I want to do. But wait a minute, what does God say? God say, no, I don't want to hear that. And this is one of the reasons why men and women love and believe lies. Because the lies that they love and the lies that they believe validate what it is they either want to do or believe. You know, I'm reminded of the parable that Jesus gives in Matthew 13, parable of the sower. And you know, Jesus points out that there are four kinds of soil in that parable, in that story. And the first that he talks about is the hardened heart, just like a hard pathway beside a field where the seed is being sown. And a heart that is hard when it comes to the truth. I'm going to tell you what happens. And Jesus points this out in his explanation of the parable of the sower, beginning in about verse 19. He said, you know what, if your heart is that way, he said, you remember the story that I told, the birds of the air will come down and pick up those seeds that's lying on that hard ground. He said, if you have a heart like that, he said, the devil is going to come in and he's going to take that word right out of your heart. And you know what will be replaced with? A lie that will encourage you to do whatever it is that you choose or you want to do. So why would we love and believe a lie? There's another reason. Because a lie is not as painful as the truth. You see, the truth sometimes is so painful that that's something that we just cannot bear to accept. Look at verse 8. Here's what the king told Jehoshaphat about Micaiah, the only prophet in his kingdom that was willing to tell him the truth. He said, there is still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Well, Ahab, why would you hate him? He's a prophet of the God. Why would you hate him? Because he does not prophesy good concerning me. but evil. He's telling me things that hurt. He's telling me things that I don't like. He's telling me things that are evil. I got to tell you something. Facts do not cease to exist because we don't like them. Facts do not cease to exist because they hurt. Facts do not cease to exist because I choose to ignore what those facts are. You take, for example, a doctor has a patient that is terminal. Now, if those facts are not conveyed to the patient, or those facts are not conveyed to the family of the patient, it's not going to change the patient's situation. We can ignore those facts. We can think that, you know, they're too painful to even endure. But the truth of the matter, that patient will die. And this is the way it is with facts of the Bible. We cannot ignore those facts because they hurt. We cannot ignore those facts because they're condemning. But you know the truth. We'll hurt. There's any question about that. Yes, the truth will set us free, but sometimes the truth will hurt. There are things that happened in my life and perhaps happened in your life as well. But there are things that happened in my life that I really believed at the time, I wished I was ignorant of that. I wish I didn't know that. I wish that information had not come my way because it hurt. It hurt me personally. It hurt my family. But you know, by being, I got to tell you, by ignoring those things that hurt didn't change what it was that was told or what it was that was true. That's the way it is with God's Word. Sometimes we come face to face with the truth of God's Word and it will cut our heart out. Let me show you what I mean by that. You take it, Luke chapter 16, there was the story that Jesus told of the rich man and Lazarus. You're all familiar with the story, as I am. And he told about a man that had five brothers, a pretty good-sized family here. And that brother died. And you know what? You just think about this. Just think about that death in that family was not unlike the death in any family. We were hurt. It's painful. But it's true. But something else is true. The Bible teaches that that one that died was in torment. Being in Hades, he lifted up his eyes in torment. He was being tormented by a flame. Now I tell you, ignoring the fact that I have a loved one that is possibly lost throughout all eternity will not change that fact. It'll not suddenly release that one from torment. I can ignore it. I can decide that I'm going to rebel against the Word of God because the truth of the Word of God may hurt me. But it doesn't change the fact. Peter's words in Acts chapter 2 were condemning and they were hurting. The Bible says in verse 37, when those people heard, they were cut to the heart. That means they were hurt. Those words were hurtful, but they were true. Now, the people responded and obeyed the gospel as a result of the sermon that Peter preached. But you notice, the words of truth hurt. I can remember back when Sue and I were members of a denomination. We really believed that we and all of our family were doing things that pleased God. And when I came face to face with the truth of God's Word, it hurt. I have been wrong. I'm sort of like Saul of Tarsus. You know, it's hard to kick against the goads. It hurts. But that didn't change the truth. Acts chapter 7, when Stephen preached, and he told the people the things they needed to hear, you're stiff-necked and you're uncircumcised, you're just like those who killed the prophets. They were cut to the heart. But now, rather than doing something about it in a productive way, they stoned Stephen to death. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that did not change the truth of God's Word. We can seek to deaden the pain. We can seek to ignore the pain. We can seek to ignore the truth, but that doesn't change the truth. It sometimes hurts. You remember in Matthew chapter 15? when Jesus told the Pharisees of his day, he said, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites? When he told them that he was telling them the truth. He said, you've changed the truth of God. You've made of none effect the teaching of God by your traditions. Do you think they like that? No, as a matter of fact, the apostles pointed out in verse 12 of Matthew 15, don't you know you have offended those men? But you know what? That didn't change the truth. Didn't change the facts. Fact was, Ahab, if you go to battle, you're going to die. Now, that's a fact. Now, that hurt. He didn't want to hear that. But I want you to notice. Now, we read this a moment ago, but I'm going to go back to verse 38. I want you to notice how that verse ends. Then someone washed the chariot. This is after Ahab died. In a pool of Samaria. And the dogs licked up his blood while the harlots bathed according to the word of the Lord which he had spoken. The truth will hurt, and the truth was Ahab was going to die, but you know what? This is according to the word of the Lord. But somebody said, J.R., you've got to understand. Everyone has a right to his own opinion. I'm not going to argue with that. I'm not going to dispute that. We do. Every single one of us has a right to our own opinion, but none of us have a right to our own truth. The truth belongs to God. Now, I can choose to obey it. I can choose to ignore it. It may hurt me, but that's not going to change the fact. We cannot be wrong on the facts and be pleasing to God. Why does one love and believe a lie? Because it supports a decision that I've already made. And because actually sometimes the truth hurts too bad to accept it. But a third reason, a final reason, that people love and believe a lie is it gives us a false sense of security. I sure feel better about that. I'm sure glad you told me that because that sure makes me feel a lot better. Now, I'm not sure in our text here that Ahab really believed and found security in what those false prophets told him. And the reason that I say that is when they actually went into battle, verse 30 says that the king of Israel disguised himself. And he took off his royal robes. He didn't want the Assyrians to know, hey, that's Ahab's chariot. I can tell by the royal robes that he has. And so I'm not sure that he totally believed what was told to him. Now, he may have. I'm just saying he disguised himself for a reason. But lies do give us a sense of security. Lies do give us the sense that that everything is okay, but that feeling that we have is worthless. You remember back in 1 Kings chapter 13? It's a great story. It's this prophet, you know, goes in to prophesy against the king, and God told him, when you prophesy against the king, you go back home by way you didn't come, and you don't go into anybody's house, you don't eat bread, or you don't drink water in anybody. Go home. And that's exactly what he was trying to do. But an old prophet sent word to him. Hey, I got an update on your revelation here. There's an update. An angel told me. I'm a prophet too, you know. And an angel told me that, hey, you can come into my house and you can eat bread and you can drink water in my house. But you know what the Bible tells us in verse 18 of 1 Kings 13? That man lied to him. But you know what? He went into that house feeling everything was okay. He went into that house and ate with that old prophet thinking, you know what? This is good. I can do this. And the reason that he felt that way is because he had this false sense of security as a result of the lie that was told to him. Now, you know what happened to him after he left? The lion destroyed him, killed him. as a result of him being disobedient to God. You look in the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11, 12, and 13. You find something here that is absolutely scary. And that is, if one doesn't have a sincere love of truth, that one will be allowed by God to believe a lie, and that doesn't matter how outlandish that lie may be. I may believe that outlandish lie, and it gives me a false sense of security. And the reason that I feel so secure in that is I didn't have a love for the truth anyway. I didn't want to do what the truth said. I didn't want to believe what the truth said. Now, don't misunderstand me. Security and confidence is a wonderful thing to have. As a matter of fact, we as Christians ought to be confident, and we ought to feel secure in our faith. But it has to be anchored in the truth. You know, you take someone that maybe, you know, in the modern pandemic we have here, someone is diagnosed with COVID-19. Now, you know what? He can decide that I really don't have it. And somebody could come along and say, well, you don't look like you're infected. You don't look like you're sick. You don't look like you have any problem here. But that doesn't change the fact. Now, he may have a false sense of security. I really don't think I have COVID, but that doesn't change the fact that he's still infected. Jeremiah, I mentioned Jeremiah a little earlier. Jeremiah's a great study. I hope you spend some time studying the book of Jeremiah. I know you have here, and Brett's preached on it several times. Well, one of the things that's so interesting about Jeremiah, especially in chapter 6, the false prophets of Jeremiah's day were going around, and you know what the message is that they were preaching to the people? Peace, peace. We're not going to be overthrown. We've got the temple of God right here in Jerusalem. And we're okay, we're safe, everything is fine. They were preaching peace, peace, but the Bible says they were preaching peace when there was no peace. It ended in disaster. Now, I'm going to say something here that those who are listening on live stream and others may think is very harsh. But it needs to be said, it needs to be expressed. The religious world is filled with those just like the prophets in Ahab's court. Men and women who will lie to you and tell you things that are not found in the Word of God. And if you believe those things that are not found in the Word of God, it may give you a sense of comfort, it may give you a sense of peace. It may salve your hurt. It may soothe your conscience. But remember, it will end in death. Ahab's belief ended in his death. This is why so many times in the Scriptures, God calls upon us to do not be deceived. Why would he say that? Why would God give such a warning as that? Because of the susceptibility that we have to be deceived and because of the number of deceivers who are in the world. They will become worse and worse, the Bible teaches. Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Being deceived by lies and being deceived by liars is bad enough. But when we make a conscious choice to deceive ourselves, it becomes criminal. Ahab had the means of knowing the truth. This prophet of God, Micaiah, the son of Imlay, he had the words of God and he brought those words to Micaiah. So Micaiah had all the, or Ahab rather, had all the opportunity to believe the truth. But he chose to believe a lie because it supported the decision that he already made. And to hear that if I go into battle, I'm going to die is hurtful. And so it gave him his false sense of security that resulted in his death.
Now let's fast forward. You know what you have in your hand? You have in your hand the words of Almighty God. As Paul said when he wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 3, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge into the mystery of God. We can read and we can understand the truth of God. It is not written in such a way that confuses. It's not written in such a way that deceives us. It is written in such a way that we can understand it and we can believe it and we can comply with it. So we have no excuse for being ignorant of the Word of God. We can believe it, we can accept it, we can live by it. Remember, the Bible says, James 1 verse 16, be not deceived. But you know, there were those that Peter was writing to in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5 pertaining to the return of Jesus. Because things were continuing exactly like they were, and that's just uniformitarianism, you know, that's all it is, just everything goes on. We get up every morning, we go to work, we come home, we go to have supper, we go to bed. You know, every day is the same. And so that causes us to become numb to the realities of what's going to happen. And Peter said, because of that, some are willingly ignorant. Some choose to deceive themselves. Now let's consider that. Let's consider self-deception. And I want to just ask you a very pointed question as we conclude our study. Do you love and believe a lie? I want to just take just a second and share with you something that my wife said years and years ago. We were doing our very best to understand the Word of God. We were members of a denomination that was not anchored in the truth. We come to realize that, but we had no idea what to do about our situation. There were passages that I came to that I shared with Sue. And she was not there yet. She could not accept certain things that the Bible was saying. For example, that baptism is essential for salvation. She couldn't accept that. And so we would study that and we would talk about it late into the night. And then I'd go off to work and she would remain at home with the children. And she'd get some time. She'd sit down and read the Bible. And she told me one day, she said, I knew what I was doing was arguing with God. And when I decided that if God says it, I'm going to believe it. And she said that opened up my mind and my understanding. And things began to fit together as God intended them. But it will not fit together so long as we love being deceived. So long as we've made up our mind and we find somebody somewhere, somehow, that validates what it is that we've already believed. I think one of the greatest lies that men and women today believe is the lie that they have plenty of time to make a change in their life. You know, it's just like Luke chapter 12 and verse 19. The man deceived himself. Take your ease. You have many goods laid up for many years. Oh, but God said, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. What we need to do is some serious soul searching in our lives and see if there are facts in our lives that do not coincide with the facts of God. It makes some changes. Do you love and believe a lie? Or are you willing to accept all the truth that God reveals? I trust that some of the things that we've said in our study this morning will be something that enables us all to make a renewed determination. I'm going to believe the truth and I'm going to accept that truth no matter how hard it hurts, no matter how many people tell me that it's not the truth. I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to accept it. And it's in the accepting of that truth that I will find my security. Would you join with me in prayer, please?